Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. Many, if not most, schools in the state are out for the summer, and this week we'll look at how that impacts families and kids and their usual routines as they change for a couple of months. Work schedules and child care are a priority. Keeping kids occupied and engaged can be a challenge. Dr. Amanda Thomas with Bluebird Kids Health joins us to discuss families and the summer break. She'll share ideas with us for parents and kids to have a safe, well-managed, and productive summer for everyone. From work to screen time, outdoor activities, and more, we look at the summer ahead this week on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Nice to have you along with us, and we continue in just moments.
Up to 44% of veterans say re-entry into civilian life was difficult, 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
Summer starts early here in Florida, which means we get more beach time, more sunshine, and more time to enjoy refreshing, sweet, and juicy fresh from Florida watermelon. The best part of summer is already here. Find locally grown Florida watermelon where you shop. Just look for the sunny Fresh from Florida logo or ask for it by name. Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Glad you're with us on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick, of course, and Dr. Amanda Thomas joins us. She's with Bluebird Kids Health in Palm Beach County. And as we focus on parents, kids, their health in a safe summer and all the things that go therewith, Amanda, tell us a little bit about your background and what got you to where you are today.
Sure. Hi, Bill. Thank you for having me with you today.
Sure.
I'm a general pediatrician here at Bluebird Kids Health. We are a pediatrician practice in the Palm Beach County, serving kids of all ages from age 0 to 21 years of age. And this is a topic that comes up quite often, you know, approaching summertime. Parents are always wondering what to do during that three-ish month break where the kids are sometimes at home.
Yeah, and it's a change in routine for everybody, and a lot of folks struggle with changes in routine anyway, but this is one that's recurring. So if you can set some good habits now, you've got it taken care of through the kids' school years, although technology even changes that. We'll talk about that some as we get the chance. Are there major problems that you see that maybe they bring into your practice or you hear about in your practice with this change of not being in school, keeping kids active, keeping them engaged? Are there things you run across that are basically related to the routine change?
All of the above, honestly. There's, you know, it's a long time where the kids are out of school, and it's not uncommon to have the routines kind of go out the window, and parents are doing their best, but in that comes a lot of challenges when routines are not set in stone. Things like even the education that they've picked up and that they've mastered during the school year, if they're not practicing some of that during the summer, that those skills can kind of decline a little bit. There's a whole lot of dynamic changes that can come from throwing their routines off during the summer.
That's very true. Some parents working in the office, other parents maybe with a hybrid schedule or a work from home schedule. I could never work from home when my kids were small, always too loud, no matter how aggressive dad got with needing them to be quiet. I needed to have that office environment. That also presents a challenge for taking care of kids in the summer.
Yeah, I think working parents, there it comes with challenges there where they have to figure out, you know, childcare. But even as you mentioned, working from home can be quite challenging, no doubt. There's no right or wrong way here, and there's no perfect answer to that. But what I typically recommend is trying to set clear blocks of time during the day and trying to label them as, you know, time where they can have quote unquote quiet time, to try to coordinate that during, let's say, meetings and important calls that the parent might have to get on. And those typically do work as long as there's preparation ahead of time. Especially for younger kiddos, we want to make sure that they know what's expected of them, and having things sorted out for them during those quiet activities will put you up for good success.
Oddly enough, maybe the older the kids get, the less problematic quiet time becomes, because when's the last time you saw a teenager that didn't have their head buried in their phone?
Yeah, well, that does become the concern there, because they can get so quiet to where it becomes easy to forget that they're on their devices. And so next thing you know, they're on their devices for the whole workday, where you're busy with your work schedule and then they're in their own room cooped up. So it's important to kind of check in on that as well, to try to give a good fine balance so that they're not on their devices all day long.
Can be quite a juggle for the parents, no doubt. Maybe for the kids as well. Best advice on that, you're saying, is structured time?
Yeah, you know, especially for the younger kids, when they have a good setup going, sometimes I recommend for the parents to prep some bins with independent activities, you know, the night before even, so that they don't have to worry about that during their work schedule. But putting, you know, out stickers and puzzles, magnet tiles, things that are quiet activities that will help during those calls is helpful.
Dr. Amanda Thomas with us, parents, kids in the summer, this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
The sun's out. Water's cool. It's a perfect day for boating.
What's that boat doing?
Perfect boating days can quickly turn into disasters when drugs and alcohol are involved. Don't let boating under the influence ruin your day. FWC officers have zero tolerance for impaired operators. If you're over the limit, you're under arrest. Learn more at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side-saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Continuing on the Florida Roundtable with Dr. Amanda Thomas as we talk parents, kids, and the summer. Amanda, you were telling us that having a structured routine for kids is really going to help. And you've got to keep kids from burning out. You got to keep them relatively satisfied. And you've got your parental responsibilities to deal with as well. Let's talk about your best suggestions on that front.
Okay. Yeah, you know, when I say routine, we kind of think about structure, but structure doesn't always mean a rigid schedule. It just means providing the children with a predictable rhythm of what to expect during that day. We understand that, you know, kids do better emotionally and behaviorally when they know what's to come next. And so that's where the routine becomes really important for kids, especially the younger kids, to be able to thrive during the day and to not have any sort of major surprises. What I usually recommend is anchoring the day with a few of, you know, e-routines, maybe having a consistent wake-up time around meal times and bedtime wind-down routines. The rest of the day can kind of just have some fluidity and some flexibility depending on what you're doing that day or what kind of activities are happening. But definitely, you know, especially with us, I like to push on the younger kids part of that because from a developmental standpoint, the younger kids are the ones who really thrive off of schedules, especially. But for really young kids, even having a visual schedule with pictures can help them feel in control. Like first we have breakfast, then we play outside, then snack time, then quiet time. But you know, it's all adjustable, and that's the beauty of summer is to have some of that flexibility in mind too.
Is there a resource for parents to maybe look at what you're talking about, maybe a website where there's a structured day, maybe not, like you said, very rigid, but just some ideas like you're talking about, resources for parents on that front?
Anytime we have any sort of recommendations, we're always going by, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations. So the American Academy of Pediatrics will always have good resources for parents in all aspects, especially this topic. But what I, in a more practical way, I often in my practice and in my rooms here with my patients, I usually recommend kind of trying to mimic somewhat the structure that the schools have in place, trying to understand, okay, you know, in their daycare and their school system, this is around the time that they eat. This is the time that they get put down for a nap, and kind of using that as a little bit of the bones of the schedule will help to kind of know where to go, what time those typically happen, and it'll also help to maintain that fluidity or that consistency from the school year, you know, to the summer break.
You know, you mentioned, you know, get your breakfast in, go outside and play for a while, and then quiet time or whatever else may come. Is there a recommended balance for the kind of screen time that these kids are going to have? I've got a granddaughter, 9 years old. She's got her first smartphone, something I wouldn't have done as a parent, but I'm not the parent in this case. And she is, in the first couple of weeks of this, thoroughly involved with that phone just as much as she can be. Are you making recommendations for time on devices versus time doing other activities?
Oh, absolutely. This is something I'm very passionate about. The studies do show that, you know, the amount of screen time that kids get in early childhood can play a huge role in some long-term problems with attention and mental health issues. So we do want to make sure that we are aware of how much screen the kids are getting. From a recommendation standpoint, the AAP supports, you know, no screen time until they're at least 2 years of age. And for the older kids, we suggest 1 to 2 hours of screen time per day, which is sometimes seemingly maybe unrealistic, but that's the goal and that's what we're going to aim for. Obviously, there's some flexibility around that during the summertime because there's a lot of boredom that comes into play, but we want to try to use that as a guide to try to aim for as, you know, as close to that time frame as possible. And the rest of the time, encourage them to go play and to have other activities, you know, even if they come up on their own. It's nice to have some component of boredom too that will spark some creativity.
Not a bad idea there. The older kids especially, they see that phone and the interactions with the various communications apps that are out there. That's real communication to them. That is how they connect with their social circle, with their friends, other family members even. So that's a connection maybe to school friends or other potentially mentoring folks that are out there. Is it different for an older kid than it is for the kids in the younger age groups?
That's a good point. When it comes to FaceTiming and conversational, you know, time with family and friends, that's technically not considered, you know, that screen time in the total aspect of that limitation, because we want them to have that social aspect, that bonding with their family members and their friends. But in general, sometimes of encouraging them to meet in real time and trying to coordinate with the other parents to have the children interact one-on-one is so much better and so much more meaningful than what they can get through the screen. So if it's ever possible to encourage that communication, you know, one-on-one, even better.
You know, in society, that's become a problem. Where we used to be people that would meet and converse about things with each other, now, if you can't do it in a two-line text with an emoji or two, you seem to be less literate or something. And I think you miss something in that interpersonal connection that happens there.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, this is something that has been so meaningful for me and something that I really try to urge and push for with my patients to try to get them back to that interpersonal connections with one another and trying to divert away from the cell phones and the screens and for beautiful friendships and you know, conversations. Sometimes it's hard to get teens to even look up from their phones, and it's challenging, but we need to kind of pull back a little bit from what they've learned and try to teach them new ways, quote unquote, which is what we know as the old ways.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as an example, I'm originally from West Virginia. I go back to the home state a couple of times a year to see family and friends. I've got friends that I've known since before elementary school, and we still come together for dinner at least once when I'm home for a week, and maybe more often than that. Are we developing those kind of long-lasting relationships anymore? Or has communications really changed that a lot?
I think we have some benefits from the, you know, from having all these devices in a sense where we are able to maintain connected even despite distance. So it does come with some good in it. Mm-hmm. But I do think that some of the kids who were born into the generation of having the devices from the get-go, I think they've lost that sense of what it's the meaning behind it anyways. And balance is always key. It's beautiful. It's great to have this technology that allows us to maintain our friendships. But nothing will ever replace that personal one-on-one time with one another.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Dr. Amanda Thomas with us. She's a pediatrician with Bluebird Kids Health in Palm Beach County. And Amanda, this person-to-person contact, some kids have siblings, and there may be varying age groups between them or gaps in age between them. And that can be something for a parent to manage. As the kids get older, maybe they get involved in the care of the younger kids or the management of them during the day, especially if mom and or dad are working from home. How do you manage those sibling connections throughout a long summer where they're not together when they're at school because they're in different classes?
Yes. You know, sibling conflict is in the summer especially is very, very real. First of all, you know, we know that it's common. Some form of sibling, you know, rivalry, we know that that happens organically in any household. It helps to sometimes know that some level of conflict can be a healthy way for kids to learn how to learn negotiation skills, empathy, and, you know, as long as we're there to help guide them through it, but it's always important to encourage group activities where they can, you know, work together towards a shared goal. Encourage them, oh, if you both can do, you know, this together, we can build a beautiful Lego castle, and it's going to be the most amazing castle we've ever seen. Encourage, you know, teamwork as opposed to who can do this faster. That will promote too much of that conflict or that competition that you want to try to avoid as best you can.
Yeah, very true. I always use the method of, if you can do this together, I will let you eat supper. Maybe that's not the best method. I don't know. Let's talk about unstructured play. You talk about having the routine, but not everything has to be planned. It doesn't have to be an activity. They can, I guess, get creative on their own.
Yeah, it's actually essential. Unstructured play is where so much of that growth happens, the creativity, independence, and even emotional regulation. We really highlight the importance of free play and developing cognitive skills and social skills. We have the tendency in our overscheduled world to structure maybe way too much and give kids too much of, you know, a guided activity, to where, you know, the summer is a chance to kind of lean into maybe some unstructured play.
You don't want it to feel like a school day, right?
Exactly. Let them get a little bored. Let them go in the backyard and lie on the grass and watch the clouds and try to figure out what figures they can see in the sky. And you know, downtime's not really, it's not wasted time. It's brain building time. See what they can come up with. And oftentimes the creativity, when it really hits, it's incredible what they can come up with. And it's so much fun. And it's truly the things that they remember later on as what they did in that summer.
Are we seeing enough of the things I did growing up, which was we were in the backyard or in the street out front playing football, basketball, baseball. There was activity all day long, and mom generally had to call us in at the end of the day for that, as opposed to us lingering around the house. Of course, I didn't have a phone in my hand the whole time either.
Yeah, I think from a lot of different aspects, things have changed, right? Unfortunately, due to safety concerns, mm-hmm. Parents are less comfortable leaving their kids all day. But we do still encourage, you know, outdoor play as much as we can.
And we'll pick it up in a moment on the Florida Roundtable.
Boating restricted zones are an important part of ensuring safety on Florida's waterways. In idle speed, no wake zones, vessels must operate at a minimum speed that will maintain headway and steerage with no visible wake. In slow speed, minimum wake zones, vessels must operate fully off plane and a speed which is making little or no wake. In either zone, vessels should be completely settled in the water, regardless of speed. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
Fresh Florida watermelon. When they say don't play with your food, they're not talking about fresh Florida watermelon. Built for fun, this mouth-watering powerhouse is perfect for backyard barbecues. It's the snack table all-star that always brings its A-game, one delicious bite at a time. When it comes to picking your picnic lineup, select the summertime legend. Pick Florida watermelon. To see what Florida watermelon can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com today.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as The Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion or your race, or because you have children or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
We can continue to take a look at families and the summer. School's out, parents are working or at home, or maybe both. Kids are at home. And what do you do with that family dynamic as school's out, kids are at home, and you've got things to do? Dr. Amanda Thomas with us with Bluebird Kids Health in Palm Beach County. And Amanda, what about caregivers, parents or others that are taking care of kids? And they may be juggling with that remote work where they've got things they must do to satisfy their employment obligations and keep the family housed and fed, and then keeping the kids occupied at the same time. What are your best suggestions for that?
You know, understand that it's okay to feel overwhelmed, because it is overwhelming, and it's important to always check in on yourself. Parents often try to run on empty, but we know that we can't pour from an empty cup. We need to be able to also check in with ourselves, build in micro moments for ourselves, 5 minutes, you know, for coffee before the kids are up, or a walk around the block, or texting a friend, or even just stepping outside for some deep breaths is really important to make sure that we're at a good place to be able to sustain the household. Very important.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Are there problems that parents run across? In my case, the kids were always too loud. It didn't matter. I was trying to work out of a bedroom office, and no matter where they were, inside or outside, they ended up near the window or near the bedroom, and work was almost impossible. Enforcing those boundaries, is it tough for parents to do that? And do you have suggestions for making that happen?
It's tricky, and of course, like I said, it matters, and it depends on how old the children are, and especially if you have a good wide range of age groups, might make it a little bit more challenging. With large age gaps, sometimes you might have to tap into some of that, the older kiddos who can help to maintain, you know, the younger ones quiet during the important meetings and the phone calls. Or to have a, you know, protected time for them to have the quiet time on their own, where you have some activities set up and you already kind of talked to them about what's expected of them during that time frame. And if you know your kids best, I mean, you do know your kids best, but you know, if you know that your kids, even with all of that structure and all of that direction, they'll likely not stay quiet and they'll be knocking on the door during that important meeting, maybe trying to reach out for some help and seeing if you know, the neighbor can take them for, you know, a 30-minute chunk of time to go for a walk or to get some ice cream or something while you have that important meeting. Sometimes it is important to know that it's okay to ask for help too.
Yeah. And grandparents are really good about helping with that aspect of it. My dad used to come and get my son on a regular basis and they'd be gone for the day pretty much. And that would help a lot. That's very true. We've talked about not making the home environment seem like school to the kids because they're getting a break from that, and justifiably so. It's been a long school year for them. What about bringing educational activities into those home activities over the summer? What are the concerns or the good ideas out of that?
Yeah, you know, they work hard during the school year, so it's okay to have them have a little bit of play with incorporating maybe some of the learning activities and weaving them into your fun activities that you have going on that day. So, you know, make it playful. If your child likes bugs, help them start a bug journal and figure out what kind of bugs they found in the backyard. Or if they're into baking, get them to bake with you to start looking at recipes and measurements and doing math, you know, in that way. And more of like a tangible learning experience, which sometimes they might not be getting during the school year. So it's very easy to do to try to incorporate some component of learning throughout their day and play-based learning, really.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Now, we know that during the school year, getting enough sleep for the kids is important. School days start, depending on where you are, fairly early. And so enough rest before they go tackle a school day is important. How much does that change in the summer, and what are parents' concerns there?
Yeah, you know, traditionally we know that kids are going to maybe stay up a little bit later in the summer, and you know, to an extent, that's okay. We do know, though, that sleep is fundamental for their development, for their growth. And so taking that into account and making sure that there's still, even if they do have their sleep schedules like pushed back a little bit later, to make sure that they're getting that appropriate amount of overnight sleep is really, really important so that they are getting that essential amount of sleep for their health. What I usually say, though, tip and word of advice, getting closer and closer to time for school to come back, we are going to try to shift that nighttime routine a little bit earlier and earlier to get back into the routine of things so it's not too much of a shock to their system when school starts back up again.
My grandson, who is turning 14, is pretty much a night owl, at least even during the school year, it seems. His dad was largely the same way. I've got a friend in the radio business who has a son who's in that same age group, and that kid sleeps pretty soundly through the morning, but is up all night. And now he's up all night doing constructive things. The kid's basically a great computer programmer at 14 years old because that's where his interest lies, and he does those things overnight, and it seems to be productive for them. But that could also eat into parents' sleep time, and parents need to manage that as well for their own health and being able to work through the day.
Yeah. You know, when you get into the teenage years, it becomes quite tricky because they do believe that they know what's best for them. And as parents, we try to encourage and try to set some boundaries to be able to make sure that they're still keeping up with their needs, right? Because at the end of the day, they're still children and their brain is not fully formed yet and they're still developing.
Sure.
So it's really important to just encourage some boundaries so that they don't become completely nocturnal and that they're not spending the whole night, you know, playing video games and sleeping the whole day. Trying to get some form of a little bit of a routine still, despite going to bed a little bit later, does usually help. So trying to get them to do some activities in the morning, making sure that they're not too tired for that, they'll likely put themselves to bed a little bit earlier than 5 in the morning.
I had my granddaughter with me just last night, and she looked at me about 8:45, and I said, "You look like you're getting tired." She says, "Yeah, I'm ready to go to bed." already and gone. Her dad used to, we'd go looking for her dad in the house when he was a kid. And even as a toddler, he'd go get in bed and just go to sleep. I wish everybody had that experience with their kids, because it was great for us when our youngest was growing up. What about parents, though, managing their own stress and their health as they're dealing with their kids' schedule as well as their own? You have tips for them on this?
As I mentioned, always give yourself grace. You're human, and it's okay to feel stressed, feel tired, overwhelmed, and sometimes, frankly, just over it, right? We tend to compare ourselves to the beautiful curated social media version of what summer should look like. But real summer is sometimes messy and imperfect. And, you know, it's important to focus on the connection with your children versus, you know, perfection. So don't stress too much about not signing your kids up for enough activities or having too many activities set in stone for them to be busy all day. Some days are going to be better than others, and that's okay. But truly, you know, your kids are going to remember how they felt in your presence. And so trying to make sure that you're still trucking along and giving yourself that time periods of breaks throughout the day, getting yourself your alone time for coffee for 5 minutes will really help to fuel your day as you move along over the summer. And especially getting closer to the 2 or the 3 month mark when you've really kind of been through the ringer. Just know that it's okay. And just take a deep breath and keep on trucking.
The school year is coming back around. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, no doubt.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
When I was a kid, one of the routines for the summer, in younger ages, it was 4-H camp or maybe a church camp. And as I got older and into athletics, I would go to a basketball camp every summer. But it was a week at a time, and that's 1 week out of many weeks that the kids are going to be there. Now you've got day camps in a lot of places, various interests and activities, whether it's theater or music or sports. There are activities out there. How much of that's a part of routine for families, and how much of that's recommended, I guess?
You know, if you're a parent nowadays, you know that those are not easy. They are easy to find. They are often expensive. They sell out very quickly. I've speaking from personal experience, if you don't sign up right away, you're out of luck. And so ideally, yes, we'd all love to sign our kids up for as many camps as possible, but it's just not feasible for every family. And that's okay too. If you want to sign them up for 1 week as opposed to the whole summer, that's great. And they'll have so much fun. And even if you can't manage that 1 week of camp, that's okay too. As I mentioned, you know, the kids are really looking for connection and not perfection. And anything that you have set up for them, they'll eventually remember as fond memories.
We are in Florida after all. We move outside as we continue in moments here on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us on the Florida News Network.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Make your garden come alive with Quality Green Specialists. Discover Quality Green's beautiful nursery with thousands of fruit trees, fruiting plants, flowers, herbs, and vegetables. Enjoy an explosion of color and see amazing results in your garden. Quality Green has the very best in organic-based, sustainable products to grow everything super productive, strong, and healthy. Quality Green Specialists, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Online at Quality Green Specialists. veteranslives.com.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Ticks can transmit Lyme disease and other dangerous illnesses. Protect yourself and your family with Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent. Clothing and outdoor gear treated with Green Armor Insect Repellent repels and kills ticks, chiggers, mites, and mosquitoes for up to 6 weeks. The handy spray bottle makes it easy to apply this odorless layer of protection. Green Armor Insect Repellent is available at garden centers, hardware stores, and at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Dr. Amanda Thomas from Bluebird Kids Health in Palm Beach County with us this weekend on the Roundtable as we look at managing your household, kids, parents, and summer vacation. What are the things to do? We mentioned we are in Florida, a lot of outdoor activities and a lot of opportunities here. Let's talk, Amanda, about the safety side of sun exposure for the kids. Things that you would recommend as these activities, many of them going to be outside. You may be taking them off on a boat. You may be sending them to a pool or other activities outside. What are your recommendations there for parents?
Yeah, so, you know, as Floridians, we all know sun is all year long, right? And so this shouldn't come as too much of new news to anyone, but, you know, sun protection is really the most important. Regardless of the age of the child, we want to make sure that the child is protected from the sun. We try to avoid as best we can the peak sun hours, which is usually between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Suggest using hats or UV protected clothing, especially if we're going to the beach and going to be out in the sun all day. And most importantly, of course, getting the children to apply really good protective sunscreen is crucial. We always recommend looking for mineral-based ones that contain zinc oxide, especially for the little kids. If you think that it's leaving a little bit of a white tint to the skin, that's good. That's where we know that the child's skin is being protected. And most importantly, it's important to remember to reapply every 2 hours. You can be the most diligent sunscreen applier, but if you're only applying it once and for the whole day, you know, it's not going to protect them enough, especially after swimming or sweating.
I was going to say, if they get in the water, that 2 hours got to dwindle down some, right?
Exactly. Which is why, you know, a combination of the UV protective clothing with the SPF sunscreen should be good enough to last those 2 hours. But if you need to reapply even sooner than the 2 hours, be our guest. The more, the better.
Had a kid who was an athlete, and we had frequent weekend baseball tournaments where they might play multiple games in a day, and that naturally that's outside. It's in that environment. Are there things to consider when it comes to dehydration or maybe heat exhaustion, things parents can watch for to protect their kids in those circumstances?
Yeah, especially if children and teens are, you know, being active in the sun, they're sweating, they're losing more fluid than normal. So really important to be cautious not to lead to early signs of dehydration. And when a child is starting to show those early signs of dehydration, you're going to look for the dry lips, the cracked lips, or, you know, that cotton mouth feeling. They're feeling a little bit tired or fatigued and complaining of headaches. Maybe they're not urinating as much as they normally do. So if those signs are starting to show up after being out in the sun all day, very important to try to get them to a shaded area and hydrate them as best you can in order to protect them from developing heat exhaustion, which is, of course, very dangerous for a child.
What about the importance of water versus maybe some of the sports drink that replenish electrolytes or anything else? Is there a balance to be had between those when you're hydrating the kid?
Yeah, that's a good question. So at a baseline, you know, when we're talking about daily intake of water, water should be okay for most kids. But of course, if you add in that component of, you know, being out in the sun and or being out of the sun playing sports, that's when you want to incorporate those electrolyte-based drinks, things like, you know, Gatorade and all of those are more of the well-known, but we want to aim for the ones that have even higher electrolyte component. In fact, I believe Gatorade has recently come out with a line that is called Gator Light, so it has extra added electrolytes. Our good old friend Pedialyte is also a go-to rehydration drink for kids of all ages. So definitely if we're going to be out in the sun, and especially if we're going to be playing some sports, really important to promote those electrolyte-based drinks to help keep them hydrated.
What if a child is experiencing and showing some extreme signs of heat exhaustion or something? Immediate steps for parents to take there? Are we talking wet towels, cold towels, get them to a facility? At what point are we really concerned?
So you might see if the child is leading towards the level of heat exhaustion, it's very dangerous and could be, of course, life-threatening. So if you start to see that the child not only is now, you know, has the dry lips and is fatigued or has headache, but now they're feeling dizzy and they're nauseous and they're having clammy skin and they're breathing heavy and fast, move them immediately to shade or air conditioning, offer them the electrolyte solution, cool their body with wet towels and a fan. And if that's not really changing anything within a couple of minutes, and especially if they start to show signs of confusion or if they're lethargic, seek immediate medical health, 911 right away.
Very good. We'll be back to wrap it up in moments here on the Florida Roundtable.
Wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device is one of the most important decisions you can make while boating. Today, there are several types of life jackets available, so you can find one that's comfortable and convenient to wear no matter what you're doing. And thanks to incredible advances in inflatable technology and innovative materials development, safety and comfort can both be a priority. Stay safe, stay comfortable, wear it Florida. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Bluebell Grooms Cake Ice Cream is renewing its vows on the frozen aisle. Milk chocolate ice cream with chocolate cake pieces, chocolate-coated strawberry hearts, swirls of strawberry sauce, and chocolate icing. See you at the reception.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Fresh Florida watermelon. When they say don't play with your food, they're not talking about fresh Florida watermelon. Built for fun, this mouth-watering powerhouse is perfect for backyard barbecues. It's the snack table all-star that always brings its A-game, one delicious bite at a time. When it comes to picking your picnic lineup, select the summertime legend. Pick Florida watermelon. To see what Florida watermelon can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com today.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org.
a public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Back to wrap things up on the Florida Roundtable with Dr. Amanda Thomas, who's with Bluebird Kids Health. She's a pediatrician. We've been talking about parents, kids, and summer and doing our best to get through it. Amanda, it's been very informative, and thank you for taking the time with us this week on the Roundtable. Let's go through some general things just to remind folks to have in consideration as they get into this summer mode and they and the kids both want to get through it, they want to enjoy it, and they want it to be productive for everybody. Let's talk about your best tips for surviving this summer.
I think what I like to focus on is the term or the saying, you know, connection versus perfection. If you're in survival mode, stick to the basics, right? Think about what needs to be done, what absolutely needs to be done for that day. A, keep everyone fed, prioritize rest for both child and parent, and then aim for one moment of connection for each of those days. Kids won't remember every activity that they do, but they will remember the moments that you had together. So even if you find that at the end of the day you feel defeated and you feel like a bad parent and you didn't do enough for your child, I can guarantee you that the children don't see it that way, that they have great memories of just spending time with you. And it's not something that we get to do, you know, every day of the year when they're in school. Kind of look at the bright side of that. And it should be one of those things that encourage you to keep going. And always, you know, try to remember, don't forget you're not alone in this. Your next door neighbor is likely going through the same thing. If you're lucky enough to have a village and feel like you're reaching your breaking point, as some parents can feel, reach out to a family member or even a neighbor and plan to get together with the other parents and their kids so that you feel like you're all in it together, and it might make it a little bit more enjoyable for everybody. I even sometimes suggest maybe doing a kid swap for, you know, 30-minute time frame where you take on the neighbor's kid so that they can go for an errand and they can have some alone parent time, and then you kind of reciprocate that and offer them, you know, the same benefit. So it's
a little
cooperation
doable. In the neighborhood could really help. That sounds like a good idea.
Yes.
There's something you mentioned, and I think we kind of slipped by it during the earlier part of the show, but I think you might have hit on something fairly important here, which is bring the kids into the planning of what's going to go on each day or each week, however you plan it out. And their engagement means they get a little bit of a buy-in factor here, right?
Yeah, and sometimes you can, with the younger ones, you can sometimes even, quote-unquote, trick them into believing that they had a say in it. You can kind of encourage them, you know, saying, how about we go for this and go for that, and then maybe give them some options, and then they make the decision of where they want to go, and it makes them feel like they are the ones who made that up and decided to go and do that. One idea that I love to have, because sometimes it's even hard for the parent to come up with more ideas, is maybe come up with a quote-unquote boredom jar filled with little slips of paper with tiny activities, you know, like build a fort and let's try a new smoothie and let's paint a picture. And by them picking it out, it often makes them feel like they had a choice, and it's exciting for them to pick out what, you know, surprise that they'll be doing for that day, and that really helps to encourage them to have fun.
Something like, try not harming your sibling. We'll try that today. Dr. Amanda
exactly.
Thomas, it's been a good hour, and I appreciate you taking the time. All the best to you and yours this summer, and we will see you folks next weekend right here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Go enjoy the summer.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.